in his name through faith, in his name has made this man strong, whom ye see and know ye. The faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye do it, and do it also your rulers. But those things which God before has shown by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he has so fulfilled.
In the verses that were read, there is a small but important point. You notice from the reading that the word mouth is used in the text, and it is singular. That's an interesting statement because the prophets, plural, are being described, and yet there is attributed to the prophets only one mouth. And the point that's made in verse 18 is made again in Acts 3:21. Whom the heaven must receive until the times of the restoration of all things, whereof God spake by the mouth, that's singular in both the English text and the Greek text, of his holy prophets that have been from old. Peter said that the prophets were holy and they spoke with one mouth. When we look at the Bible, we find that there were several prophets. In the Old Testament, of course, you may be familiar with the fact that there are prophetical books. There were 16 different men who wrote the books that we describe as prophetical books. But most know that the prophets were not limited to these 16 men. There were also people like Moses who issued some prophets or prophecies. And according to Acts 3, verses 18 and 21, the prophets spoke with a voice or one voice, singular. What did Peter mean when he said voice, singular, one? He used this language to teach that the prophets all preached the same message. Whether it was Obadiah or Jeremiah or Isaiah, there was harmony in what each one of these men taught. This evening, I want us to think about the harmony that we find in Scripture. I want us to give consideration to the Bible from the standpoint that it is a very diverse book. And yet, in spite of the diversity, the Bible still says it can be thought of as coming from a single voice, a single person. When we look at how Scripture was produced in the volume that we now have, we must conclude that it was not made by mere men. Let's begin by thinking about where Scripture starts. That's Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, the Bible says. This statement tells us that Scripture starts with how things began. Instead of going back for 50 years or 100 years or 500 years or even 1,000 years, the Bible goes all the way back to the very first. We know that the Bible can be divided into two separate sections, the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Testament covers a period, Genesis 1:1, from the beginning to a period of about 430 BC. Based on what I can conclude, it seems that the beginning to 430 BC consists of a period of about 4,000 years. If we take that fact, that is, from the beginning to about 400 years before Christ, that period of time, and we look at Acts 3, we are presented with this claim. During that period of 4,000 or so years, there was a plan. We find that during that time, a number of people were involved with this plan. There were several people who spoke about and wrote about this plan. And in Hebrews 1:1, the Bible gives us some information about these people and how they interacted with God and His plan. God having of old time spoken unto the fathers and the prophets by divers portions and in divers manners. Over a period of several thousand years, God communicated with a variety of people. And the Hebrew writer says that He used different techniques. And this is exactly what we find when we look at the Old Testament. In passages like 1 Kings 19:5, we find that God sometimes communicated with men through heavenly messengers, angels. In the book of Daniel chapter 7 and verse 1, we find that there were periods when God communicated with people through dreams. Sometimes, Isaiah 1:1 is an example, God used visions. On other occasions, God used an audible voice, 1 Samuel 3:4. So we have, when we think about the construction of Scripture, people being spoken to over a period of at least 4,000 years, people being spoken to in a wide variety of ways, these people are writing things down, and it is about as diverse as it can get, but it gets more interesting. When we think about some of the things that these people wrote, we find that they wrote in different styles. Some of the information that they produced was poetry. There were others who were responsible for writing history. And then, of course, there were people who wrote Proverbs or recorded direct teaching or even prophecy. And yet, as we look at the material in Acts chapter 3, what do we find? We find that in both verses 18 and 21, Peter said that they spoke with one voice. Different men, different periods, different kinds of teaching was recorded. But again, he said that they were all united. No matter who they were, no matter what kind of literature they wrote or produced, or how God contacted them, they all spoke with one voice. But as we think about what was done under the Old Testament, all of these facts still do not complete the entire picture. The Old Testament was mainly written in Hebrew, but there are sections which were written in another language. Thus, the Old Testament writers used at least two different languages. And when we look at the Old Testament, we find that we have writers who were from different backgrounds and different cultures. And these people spanned a period of about 3,600 years. And then we get to the so-called silent period of 400 years. What kind of product could be exposed to this level of variety and yet be completely intact? I know of no such document which would be unified. But the story does not stop here. After approximately 400 years of silence, the story continues. In what might be called Act 2, other people and additional information were added. New authors were added to the project. More cultural differences were introduced. And there was the addition of a third language. By the time the New Testament was written, there was a shift in the governments of the world. When the New Testament writers are added to the old, we have at least 35 different authors working on the volume that we know as the Bible. When we look at Scripture, we find that these 35 plus authors wrote over a period of 1,600 years. These 35 plus authors were working with three different languages. Do you know that the cast of characters in Scripture is close to 3,000 different people? Imagine writing about close to 3,000 people, 35 different authors, 35 or so different authors from all kinds of backgrounds over a period of almost 2,000 years. The book is not small. It has 1,189 chapters. And then we toss in this little tidbit. These people were writing from different times in history. There were parts of Scripture that were written during times of peace. Other periods were written during times of war. It was written when things were good and when things were bad, when people had plenty and when times were lean. It was written when people had hope, and other sections were written when people had despair. And it was written from three different continents, Asia, Africa, and Europe. And then we don't want to neglect this fact, that within the pages of Scripture, the writers did not deal with things that everybody agrees on. But when we look at the pages of God's Word, we find that there are literally hundreds of subjects which are controversial. Controversial subjects being dealt with over a period of thousands of years from 35 plus authors. When you begin to look at all of the facts that are related to Scripture, you find that the document that we call the Bible is the strangest publishing project of all kind, of all time. It's never been any more unique than this. And yet, in spite of all of the unusual things that are associated with the Bible, Scripture still affirms in Acts 3, verses 18 and 21, that it was produced with one mouth, the mouth of the prophets. This is the claim that we find. And this is true. As we look at the pages of the Bible, we find in both Testaments a consistent picture of God. We also find a consistent picture of man's problem, and that is sin. There is a consistent picture of sin expressed in Scripture. That is, someone needs to come and fix the problem. The product is astonishing. How could such a document as has been described this evening ever have been produced? Consider, if you will, some of the people and their different backgrounds. It would have been one thing to have said, well, we have people working over a span of about 1,600 years, multiple authors, at least 35, but their background is all the same. But that's not the case when we look at the Bible. Moses, a prince, a shepherd, and a leader of the Hebrew nation. Joshua had a different background, a military commander and a scout. There were other men like Samuel who were judges and priests. Nathan was a prophet and king's counselor. David, a shepherd, a poet, military hero, and a king. Solomon, the wise man, zoologist, statesman, and botanist. Amos was the farmer. Hezekiah has been called a civil engineer. Ezra has been likened to a revival leader. Nehemiah was a king's cupbearer. So again, as we look at the people who produce scripture, we have people coming from occupations that are for the most part wholly unrelated to one another, and yet they all contribute to a volume which, as we look at the New Testament, is described as coming from one mouth. There were so many things that did not go together. And yet as we look at the Bible, we do find that they fit together. They fit together very, very well. So well that the Bible is a single, unified book. When we look at the Old Testament, we find that God often used prophets to write the scriptures. But when it came to the New Testament, God no longer used prophets. He selected a new group of people known as the apostles. God used a different kind of person, someone who was from a different function, if you will, but that did not change the unity of the message. And when we think about the apostles and the writing of the New Testament, most know that not every New Testament book was written by an apostle. This is odd as well. Most know that James was not the apostle. That is, the person who penned this book, he was not the apostle, James. Most have concluded that it was written by James, the Lord's half-brother. And that's interesting. Because as you look at the Lord's life, you find that there was a long time when the Lord's half-brothers and half-sisters did not believe on him. And yet when it comes time to write about the Lord and his cause, one of the very people that Jesus grew up with, one of the people who had spurned the Lord, didn't believe on him, wrote a book about him. And it seems that James was not the only one who did this. Towards the end of the New Testament, we have the book of Jude, and most have also come to the consensus that Jude was another half-brother of Jesus. He too changed his view. When we look at the people who wrote the New Testament, we find some of the things that are odd. The Lord relied upon some people who are fishermen. Peter was used to write two different books in the New Testament. John was another fisherman. He wrote 50 chapters in the New Testament. What do fishermen know about writing and public speaking? That's not their area of expertise. That's not what they do. They're not qualified. Another New Testament writer was Paul. God took someone who was hostile to Christianity and caused him to write a substantial section of the New Testament. There was another man. We know him as Matthew. He was the tax collector, unrelated to the line of work that Saul was in, unrelated to the fishing business. If we think about the authors of the New Testament, we cannot overlook Luke. God used a doctor, someone who was in a different category than everybody else, to write the books of Acts and Luke. These men, folks, were light years apart. Even if they had all worked during the same lifetime, that is, the 35-plus authors, it would have been a magnificent project. But that's not what we find. Different cultures, different languages, different times, different continents over a space of about 1,600 years. And yet, when we look at the Bible, we find that it fits together just like the human body. It fits together so well. If the various authors over a period of about 1,600 years had tried to write about a general theme, if they had left out all of the controversial subjects without divine guidance, they would have failed. But that's not what we find in Scripture. There is no failure. These men did not write about a general theme. They wrote about some things that were very specific, and they not only succeeded, they wrote with one voice. It's been calculated that the Old Testament has 306 specific prophecies about the Lord's first coming. And I'm not sure if that's completely accurate or not, but I'll tell you this. Someone who has an interest in probabilities did some calculating. He has come to the conclusion that the chance of just 8 prophecies concerning Christ and the Old Testament coming true is equal to 26 plus 10 zeros. And I'll tell you his illustration for this, and we'll break it down a little bit even beyond what he says. But he compares just 8 prophecies coming true concerning the Lord to the state of Texas. Texas has 710 miles by 760 miles, 262,134 square miles. And his illustration for just 8 prophecies concerning Christ is this. He said, if you could take the state of Texas and you could stack silver dollars right next to each other, in stacks that are 3 feet deep, and just do that completely throughout the state, and on just one of those silver dollars, you would put a red dot. And after the state has been stacked with silver dollars, and that one silver dollar has been dotted with the red dot, you blindfold someone and simply drop them somewhere in the state of Texas and say you get one shot at finding the silver dollar. That's kind of hard to imagine, so just imagine, if you will, tonight, this auditorium. If it's stacked full of silver dollars, as closely as they can be stacked together. Each stack is 3 feet thick. And someone were to blindfold you and say, you get one shot at picking out the silver dollar. So you stumble throughout the room and you find, given just one chance, the silver dollar that has the red dot. It couldn't be done. And if you begin to think about that in the terms described as far as the square miles of Texas, it's absolutely astonishing. And yet that's the probability of just 8 of the prophecies concerning Christ in the Old Testament coming true. But we don't have 8. We have more than 300. And when you look at just that fact, it must be concluded that the Bible is a product which was not produced by mere men. Sometimes people come along and say, well, you know, you believe in the Bible. It's not such a special book. What makes you believe about that? When I look at the information that's been presented tonight, I have no choice but to believe. When I look at the mountain of evidence that has been given this evening, no rational person can look at that material and say, well, the Bible was just some book that a bunch of people produced and it's not from God. The product that we have that's known as Scripture is overflowing from beginning to end with proof that it has come from God. And because the Bible is a divine document, it's one that we need to know, one that we need to believe, and one that we need to obey. What's been said thus far in Scripture has come true, and that is additional proof that God's Word will be fulfilled in its entirety. We need to believe the book because it's true. Tonight we hope that you're here because you believe that God's Word is right. We hope that your faith has been strengthened if you've become a Christian, because that is the right belief to have. The Bible has been produced by God. If you've not become a Christian, we hope that you'll give consideration to what's been said this evening, that you'll come to the conviction that the Bible has come from God, that it's a book that you need to obey, it's something that you need to follow as you live on earth. If you need to become a Christian, and you know the steps, tonight we'll baptize you into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you're unaware of what God's plan is for your life and you'd like to study about that with someone from here, we'd be glad to do that as well. But if you've come to the conviction that the Bible is God's Word and you're willing to allow that Word to work in your life, you're interested in obeying it, now is the right time. If we can help either restore you as a Christian, strengthen you in some other way, or help you become a child of God, or even if you'd like to study about things more fully, we invite you to make that known now as we stand and sing.